6. Gnarhoff Owen spent quite a lot of time on the toilet. Alva Sedge was hell when she was cross, and she'd been in a state of virtually permanent crossness ever since he'd properly woken up, in fact, since well before. She'd been cross, cross with him, while he'd been unconscious, which seemed unfair somehow. If he slept too long or day-dozed, she got even crosser. So he went to the toilet for fairly long intervals. The toilet in a 9-person module consisted of a sort of thick flap that hinged down from a recess in the back wall of the small craft's single cabin. A semi-cylindrical field popped into being when the flap was in place, isolating the enclosed space from the rest of the cabin. And there was just enough room to make the necessary adjustments to one's clothing and stand or sit in comfort. Usually some pleasantly bland music played. But Gnarhoff Owen preferred the perfect silence the field enclosure produced. He sat there in the gentle, pleasantly perfumed downward breeze, not as a rule actually doing anything, but content to have some time to himself. Stuck on a tiny but perfectly comfortable module with a beautiful, intelligent young woman. It ought to be a recipe for unbridled bliss. It was practically a fantasy. In fact, it was sheer hell. He'd felt trapped before, but never like this, never so completely, never so helplessly, never with somebody who seemed to find him quite so annoying, just to be in the presence of. He couldn't even blame the drone. The drone was, in a sense, in the way, but he didn't mind. Just as well it was, in fact, he didn't know what Alva Sedge might have done to him if it hadn't been in the way. Hell, he quite liked the drone. The girl he could easily fall in love with, and in the right circumstances certainly admire and be impressed by. And yes, perfectly possibly like, even be friends with. But right now, he didn't like her any more than she liked him. And she really didn't like him a lot. He supposed these were just not the right circumstances. The right circumstances would involve them both being somewhere extremely civilized and cultured, with lots of other people around, and things happening, and stuff to do, and opportunities to choose when and where to get to know each other, not cooped up. Grief. And it was only for 2 days so far, but it felt more like a month. In a small module in the middle of a war, with no apparent idea where they were supposed to go, and all their plans seemingly thwarted. It probably didn't help that he was effectively their prisoner either. So, who was the first girl? He asked her. The one outside the Sublimer's place. Probably S.C., Hover said, told him grumpily. She glared back at the drone. The two humans were in the same seats they'd been in when he'd first woken up. The floor of the cabin area behind them could contort and produce various combinations of seats, couches, tables, and so on. But every now and again they just sat in the forward-facing seats, looking at the screen and the stars. The drone Chertline sat oblivious on the floor of the cabin, taking no apparent notice of the girl's glare. The drone seemed to be glare-proof. Somehow it was allowed to get away with being uncommunicative. Gnarhoff Owen sat back in the seat. The stars ahead looked the same as they had a few minutes ago. The module wasn't really heading anywhere purposefully. It was just moving away from Tyr, down one of the many corridors approved by Tyr traffic control as free from warships and or volume warnings or restrictions. The girl and the drone hadn't allowed him to contact Tyr or anybody else. They'd been in touch with what sounded like a ship mind, communicating by screen-written messages he wasn't allowed to see. Once or twice the girl and the drone had gone quiet and still together, obviously in touch through its communicator and a neural lace. In theory, he might have been able to wrest control of the module from them at such a point, but in practice it would have been futile. The module had its own semi-sentient systems, which he had no way of subverting and little chance of arguing around, even if he had somehow got the better of the girl and the drone. And anyway, where was he supposed to go? Tyr was out. He had no idea where the grey area or the sleeper service were, and suspected that probably nobody else knew where the two ships were either. He assumed SC would be looking for him. Better to let himself be found. Besides, when they'd finally released him from the chair he'd been secured to while he'd been unconscious, the drone had shown him an old but shinily mean-looking knife missile it contained within its casing, and given him a brief but nasty stinging sensation in his left little finger, that it assured him was about a thousandth of the pain its effector was capable of inflicting on him if he tried anything silly. He'd assured the machine that he was no warrior, and that any martial skills he might have been born with had entirely atrophied at the expense of an overdeveloped sense of self-preservation. So he was content to let them get on with it when they communicated silently. Made a welcome change, in fact. Anyway, whatever it was they discovered through all this communicating, they didn't seem terribly happy with it. The girl in particular seemed upset. He got the impression she felt cheated, that she'd discovered she'd been lied to. Perhaps because of that she was telling him things she wouldn't have told him otherwise. He tried to put together what she'd just said about special circumstances with what she'd already let him know. His head ached briefly with the effort. He'd hit it when he'd fallen out of the trap in Night City. He was still trying to work out what happened there. "But I thought you said you were with SC," he said. He couldn't help it. He knew it would just annoy her again, but he was still confused. "I said," she hissed through gritted teeth, "that I thought I was working for SC." She looked to one side, and sighed heavily, then turned back to him. "Maybe I am. Maybe I was. Maybe there's different bits of SC. Maybe something else entirely. But I don't know. Don't you understand?" "So, who sent you?" he asked, crossing his arms. The own skin jacket slid round his torso. The model's bio-unit was cleaning his shirt. The suit still looked pretty good, he thought. The girl hadn't changed out of her dual spacesuits, though she'd used the module's toilet rather than whatever built-in units the suit had. She looked less and less like Dejelka Lion every hour, he thought, her face becoming younger and finer and more beautiful all the time. It was a fascinating transformation to watch. And if the circumstances had been different, it'd have been aching at least to test the waters with her, to see if there was any sort of mutuality of attraction here. But the circumstances were as they were, and right now the last thing he wanted to do was give her any impression he was ogling her. "I told you who sent me," she said, her voice cold, "a mine. With the help. Well, it looks more like collusion now, actually," she said, with an insincere smile, "of my home world's mind." She took a deep breath, then set her lips in as tight a line as their fullness would permit. "I had my own warship, for grief's sake," she said bitterly, addressing the stars on the screen ahead of them. "Is that any wonder? I thought it was all SC arranged." She glanced back at the silent drone, then looked at him again. "Now we're told our ship's fucked off," and we've to keep quiet about where we are, and the sort of trouble we had getting you off tier. She shook her head, looked like SC to me. Not that I know that much, but the machine thinks so too, she said, jerking her head to indicate the drone again. She looked him down and up. Wish we'd left you there now. Well, so do I, he said, trying to sound reasonable. She'd got to Tyr a few days before him, sent to look for him, in effect given a blank check, and yet not able to find out where he was the easy way through just asking. Hence the business with the Ponderosaur. Which made sense if it wasn't special circumstances which had sent her, because it was SC who'd been looking after him on Tyr, and why would they try to kidnap him from themselves? And yet she'd had her own warship, apparently, and been given the intelligence that had led her to Tyr to intercept him in the first place, information SC would naturally restrict to a small number of trusted minds. Mystifying. So, she said, what exactly were you supposed to be doing after you left Tyr? Or was this rather a pathetic attempt to reclaim your lost youth by trying to seduce women who looked like an old flame, the totality of your mission? He smiled as tolerantly as he could. Sorry, he said, I can't tell you. Her eyes narrowed further. You know, she said, they might just ask us to throw you outboard. He allowed himself to sit back, looking surprised and hurt. A little shiver of real fear did make itself felt in his guts. You wouldn't, would you? He asked. She looked forward at the stars again, eyebrows gathered, mouth set in a downturned line. No, she admitted, but I'd enjoy thinking about it. There was silence for a while. He was conscious of her breathing, though he looked in vain at the attractively sculpted chest of her suit for any sign of movement. Suddenly her foot clunked down on the carpet beneath her jewel-encrusted boot. "What were you supposed to be doing?" she demanded angrily, turning to face him. "Why did they want you? Fuck it, I've told you why I was there. Come on, tell me." "I'm sorry," he sighed. She was already starting to blush with anger. "Oh, no, here we go," he thought, "tantrum time again." Then the drone jerked up into the air behind them, and something flashed round the edges of the module's screen. "Hello in there," said a large, deep voice all around them.